Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Donna Vaughn, and here are today's top local stories. Well, hot weather today, more hot weather tomorrow. Our heat advisory has been extended through Saturday night in the tri-state. Let's find out what's ahead with AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Benz joining us now with this live report. Matt?
Yeah, that's right, Donna. A very hot stretch of weather now for today and tomorrow. It's not so much just the heat, it's the humidity that's really going to add to that real feel factor over the next 24 to 36 hours. Today, we're heading up to 92 degrees for this afternoon air temperature, but once you factor in the humidity, AccuWeather real feel temperatures will be between 100 and 105 degrees for this afternoon. Just blazingly hot with regard to that real feel temperature. Then for tomorrow, temperatures come down a bit. We're looking at a high of 86 degrees, but once again, factor in that humidity. Real feels back into the mid-90s for tomorrow afternoon. So dangerous stretch of heat. Be sure to take it easy outdoors if you can. And, of course, stay hydrated. Donna.
All right. Meteorologist Matt Benz. The latest NYPD figures show at least 825 incidents of gun violence so far this year in the five boroughs. That's a lot more than the 650 shootings we'd already seen by this time last year. Several more numbers were added to that figure just since last night, as our Samantha Liebman reports.
The shootings in the city continued overnight. While many recent incidents have been in the Bronx, at least six people shot in Brooklyn and about a dozen shootings around the city. The mayor in his daily briefing Thursday seemed to blame the courts for the problems.
We need help from Albany. We need the court system to start moving more aggressively.
He says the NYPD is doing what it can and putting even more officers out on the streets.
We had two graduating classes lately, one over 800 officers, one over 400 officers. They're out on the streets now, helping to keep us safer. There's no question that there's a surge of activity to address any challenge that comes up.
Samantha Liebman, 1010 Winds News.
Meanwhile, in Queens, someone pulled a gun during a road rage incident on Queens Boulevard and Woodside last night. Police say it was a driver who'd just been punched through his window by another driver, then got out and shot the guy. The wounded man is expected to survive. The gunman got away. Tomorrow marks 25 years since one of the worst aviation disasters in U.S. history, the crash of TWA Flight 800 in the water off Long Island's South Shore, taking 230 lives. Here to look back at the tragedy with us this morning, Peter Greenberg, travel editor for CBS News. He joins us live now on 1010 Winds. Good morning, Peter.
And good morning, Don.
All right. Thanks for joining us. You know, investigators have blamed the crash on an explosion in the plane's center fuel tank. There are lingering questions, though, for some people, even 25 years later. How about you? Do you have any reservations about that conclusion?
Actually, I don't. This is one of the most complicated and intense accident investigations in aviation history. You may remember that right after the explosion, people thought it might have been a terrorist bomb on board the plane. Then they thought it was a missile launched by U.S. Navy during training. Both of those ideas were debunked almost immediately for very strong evidentiary reasons. And then the focus became what was in that center fuel tank. On that particular day, July 17th, 1996, a very hot day in New York, the plane had just come in from Athens. It had an empty fuel tank in the center. They were about to go back to Paris. They didn't need any fuel in that center fuel tank because they had great tailwinds. They only filled the wing tanks. And it was a spark that was ignited in that center fuel tank that only had 70 gallons of fuel, and the rest was fumes that brought that plane down. That was the explosion that did it, and that's how they were able to focus on it. and ultimately come up with a technology to inert fuel in those center tanks so that those explosions could never happen again.
And that was the major change, you would say, to the aviation industry as a result of the crash of Flight 800?
Yes, because remember, when you're dealing with a plane that particular case was over 20 years old, not everything in the maintenance manual included the maintenance of wires and electrical cords that might have been, you know, their insulation corroded or completely stripped off by the toxicity of fuel. So they were able to now figure out the design changes to do new planes and, of course, do the fixes on the existing planes to make sure that that eventuality could never happen.
You know, the hundreds of pieces, over 1,000 pieces, actually, of the jet were retrieved from the ocean, painstakingly reassembled by the investigators. It's still around. It's being used for training purposes, but the NTSB recently announced it's being decommissioned and taken apart by the end of the year. Any thoughts on that or how it might affect the families?
Well, it has been used as a teaching tool, a very effective teaching tool. They literally reconstructed the fuselage on a metal skeleton in a hangar out on Long Island. And it was an effective teaching tool for that period of time to teach everybody what to look for in accidents like this. That teaching tool's usefulness now has come to an end. And out of respect for the families and the crew members who were lost, all of that now is going to be destroyed.
All right. Peter Greenberg, traveler editor for CBS News. Glad you could join us this morning and share your thoughts. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Coronavirus cases on the rise again in New York City, though health experts think the vaccines will save us from having another serious wave. On Long Island, new cases have jumped more than 75% in the last week, primarily among the unvaccinated. In fact, Long Island's daily average is higher now than it was the same time last year. The new cases both here and across the nation now surging in 49 states, being fueled by the apparently hyper-contagious Delta variant. Well, we're still waiting to hear whether tonight's Yankees-Red Sox game in the Bronx will go off as scheduled. Last night's game was postponed after the Bombers reported 3 positive cases and 3 pending cases. ESPN's Buster Olney reports that one of the positive cases was Aaron Judge, who was at this week's All-Star game. All 5 of the Red Sox All-Stars were told to take social distancing precautions, according to the Boston Globe. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman says most of the players involved have been vaccinated. New York City's former top cop weighs in on the future of the city and historic changes that may be taking place with the NYPD. Our Juliet Papa has that story.
Bill Bratton says a decision for a female commissioner of color would be an historic step for New York City and the NYPD, whomever it may be.
It is going to be a tough haul for whoever that commissioner is. That person or she is going to have to come in and be an inspirational leader. She's going to have to provide a lot of transparency, a lot of access to the media, a lot of visibility, a lot of creativity.
Democratic nominee Eric Adams has plans to appoint a woman as top cop. Bratton says he may consider female chiefs outside of New York City.
Mayors oftentimes rise and fall on the behavior and success of their police commissioners. So there's going to be a lot on the shoulders of whoever that commissioner is, particularly at this time.
Bratton shared his views on the future of policing outlined in his book entitled The Profession. Juliet Papa, 1010 Winds News.
Well, if this song, I Will Survive, was your anthem during the pandemic, you are certainly not alone. And tomorrow, you'll get a chance to sing along with the woman behind that song. Gloria Gaynor will be taking the stage for a special free performance at the Coney Island Amphitheater tomorrow night. And joining us live now here on 1010 Winds is Gloria Gaynor herself. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very well and so happy to hear that you'll be performing live again. Now, is this the first time that you're giving a live performance since the pandemic?
No, I've had three performances since the pandemic.
Yeah, you're back on the road, right?
Well, kind of, sort of. It's slow. People are trying to rev back up, you know, get back into the swing of things.
Right. So are you anxious to perform again for the city and for your fans around the country, around the world?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is my life. This is what I do. And when I'm not doing that, I'm trying to manage it in other ways.
It's amazing how your song pops up again as an anthem over and over every time something happens like the pandemic. The lyrics really stand the test of time, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I knew that when I first heard it.
Absolutely. And again, we just keep hearing it. It's so appropriate over and over in so many instances. Now, tell me what it's like to be performing at Coney Island, which, you know, New York City just reopened Coney Island just recently.
Well, I honestly don't know what it's going to be like. I'm hoping that it's going to be like ecstatic, you know, just people just having such a wonderful and great time. I'm expecting that it's going to be like that because people have been locked up for so long. It's like breaking out. So, I mean, I have lots of family, friends, and fans there in that area. My church is in that area, so I'm expecting people to come from there to see the show. So I'm expecting it to be exciting for me, if for no one else.
You know, like we said, this song just hasn't lost its appropriateness over the years, I Will Survive. But that really, even though it seems like yesterday to so many of us, that song is a few decades old at this point. But you're still making music. You're still doing things. You have a new single coming out called Brand New, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to performing that tomorrow night as well, and giving people an opportunity to hear that before they can get it into their hands.
And your music won a Grammy as well in 2020. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was my first Grammy after 40 years, because I won a Grammy for I Will Survive. And 40 years later, I won a Grammy for my gospel album. My past management had not wanted me to do a gospel album because he wanted me to get a Grammy first. So as God would have it, you don't get a Grammy until you do the gospel album.
You know, I don't know if you've heard this yet yourself, but there's an internet producer who's done a mashup of Slipknot, the heavy metal group, their song The Devil and I, with your I Will Survive. We'd like to play a clip of that for our listeners who haven't heard it. If you just stand by for one moment, here it is. And we'd love to know if you've heard that song before, that version of it, and what you think of it.
Well, no, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it, but I will be looking forward to listening to it and seeing what they've done with my song. I'm hoping that they're saying that you will survive whatever attack he brings you because you have the Lord on your side. That's what I would be singing with those words.
Now, again, your show is tomorrow night at Coney Island. Any nervousness on your part because of COVID performing in front of fans again?
No, I mean, you know, you hope that people have determined to do the best they can to protect themselves and others, that they are concerned with others as well as themselves. And that's all I can hope for.
Well, it sounds like someone is trying to get you on the phone, so we're going to let you go now. Gloria Gaynor, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on 1010 Winds. And we hope you have a great show. It's tomorrow night at the Coney Island Amphitheater. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. God bless.
A star college athlete is suing his old school.
In college, Miles Powell was a dynamic player.
Powell draws a foul for three, and he got it. Stop it.
But now the 24-year-old pro has sued Seton Hall University head basketball coach Kevin Willard and a team trainer for failing to diagnose a knee injury during his senior season. The suit claims it was more serious than he was told at the time, and it caused him to suffer physical and financial damage. Powell went undrafted by NBA teams. The suit says it was after the seriousness of the injury was revealed. The school has not commented.
That is correspondent Steve Kathan reporting. Well, for the first time since before the pandemic, the city hosts a comic convention this weekend. Big Apple Comic-Con has an expo tomorrow at the New Yorker Hotel on 8th Avenue, a pretty popular event created by Middle Village native Michael Carbonaro. And Mr. Carbonaro is now joining us live here at 1010 Winds to tell us more. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
All right.
Apple day.
Somebody had his coffee this morning. Thanks so much for your enthusiasm. Tell us more about the event tomorrow and how it might be different from Comic-Con, Big Apple Comic-Con events you've had previously.
You know, somebody actually asked me, so you've had like a year or more. The last show that we had was a year and 8 months ago in New York City, almost 500, over 500 days. And then everything happened. And they said, so you've had a year to relax. Relax. It's been the most worst and best of times, as Rudyard Kipling once said. But here it is, finally. I've had time to ruminate and think about the 25 years past with every guest that Big Apple has had, from Stan Lee to Val Kilmer to Carrie Fisher. And I want to have 25 more years. But Big Apple is just a little different. It's not a corporate show. It's a community show.
Right.
It's about the world of comics and the world of buying and selling collectibles that I've been in for over 50 years. And I love New York, and I love Big Apple, and we want to bring back the city and the collectors and the enthusiasm and the world, starting in New York. Where else?
And you've got some guests coming tomorrow. Can you tell us about them?
Oh, yes, we have. We have two amazing guests in the world of comics, Mr. Jim Steranko, the artist, and Mr. Jim Starlin, also an amazing artist. Jim Starlin helped create the original Captain Marvel in the 1970s, and Thanos, the supervillain from the Avengers movies, as everyone knows. Jim Steranko is one of the most amazing artists. I mean, he just took the idea of James Bond and superheroes and super gadgets and created it and made images that to this day are still being imitated by other creators. And he's one of my favorite artists, besides being a great person. So everyone can come down and say hello to both of them.
All right. And again, that is tomorrow. It's at the New Yorker Hotel on 8th Avenue. Thousands typically attend. You're expecting thousands again this year. Tickets are still available. Thousands of people going, and we'd love to see you in the crowd as well. So just go to their website. Again, that was Michael Carbonaro from Big Apple Comic Con, owner, producer, and promoter of the show. First convention since December 2019, since before the pandemic, and it's taking place tomorrow here in the city. The mayor of Mount Vernon has declared a state of emergency. It's over $500,000 in unpaid equipment bills that's left the city unable to repair police, fire, and public works vehicles. Both the mayor and city controller are blaming each other for this. While they sort it out, New York City is helping out, lending Mount Vernon 8 garbage trucks for the next 3 months.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the radio.com app to take us with you wherever you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.